in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1. You know, when I was looking at this scripture and what the Lord's wanting to do, and not only this church, but in this city, in this state, in this nation, and in the world. Amen. One of the things that came to my heart was ashamed. When I looked at that word ashamed, sometimes we're ashamed to share our feelings because we're wondering or we're afraid of what someone else might think. So there's a spirit of fear that comes, and God says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when I was looking at this, what the Lord is saying is we're not to be ashamed, but we're to be inflamed by the Spirit of God and bring fame to Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a poet and didn't know it. Hallelujah. But today I want to take you to Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, where the apostle says this. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This morning's message is to dare to care, or care to share, I think it is, to care to share. It doesn't matter, it's one of those titles. And the three things that I want to share with you today is the standing, the source, and the salvation. The standing, the source, and the salvation. Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of His Word. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word today, Father God. We're grateful, Lord, that You sent it here to do something in every heart and every life of each and every one that's gathered here and the sanctuary, those that are gathered on Facebook and those that will be gathered on the website. Father God, be magnified and glorified by the preaching of Your Word. Father, You sent Your Word to accomplish something in hearts and lives today. I pray for each hearer, Father God, today that they would be receptive and open to what the Spirit of God has to say to each and every one of us. And then when all is said and done, You will receive all the glory and all the honor, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The first thing I've says, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's the standing. If you look with me in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10, when I was looking at this, the Lord reminded me what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. He said, "For the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest." And when I was looking at that, Solomon in all of his wisdom said in Proverbs 10, he speaks about a son that gathers in summer. Amen. The season to harvest. In verse number 5, he says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I believe when I'm ashamed, I bring shame to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, in Romans chapter 5, Romans 5, verse number 5, the apostle says, if we believe in Romans 10, 17, he says, in Hebrews 11, it says, no, wait a minute. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the word of God says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Amen. And he said, in righteousness, he'll take us from faith to faith. The just shall walk in faith, right? And faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, according to the Hebrews. The hope is that we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. So the apostle says in Romans 5:5, He says, in hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In other words, we're not to be ashamed, but we're to give fame to Jesus. We're to be inflamed by the Spirit of God to open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The Word of God says the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to his student Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to his student, and we're all students of the gospel, so every time I read Paul's writing to his student, Titus or Timothy or Philemon or whoever Paul is writing to, I take it personally as student of the gospel, studying to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he says in verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So first the Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which brings us to the source. For it is the power of God. And what you're looking at, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, we're trusting God and his word. And he brought this to me, and he said, he took me to Ezekiel chapter 37. In Ezekiel 37, the prophet Ezekiel was given a word, and what he was looking at, there was a valley of dry bones, there was dead bones, there was no life there. And what God is saying, he's going to take you to some places that looks like there's no chance for life. But when you open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, all of a sudden the power of God will show up and bring life where there seemed to be no hope for life. The prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 37, the Lord said, hey, can these bones live? And Ezekiel responded to him and said, Lord, you know. So in verse number 7, he did as he was commanded. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Holy Spirit, come. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Amen. And what the Lord was saying to him, if you look in Luke chapter 15. Now some people say, once saved, always saved. And that's not true. And Luke 15, the Jesus tells us about the story of the prodigal. The prodigal that drifted away. Amen. And so we have many in this nation, in this world, in the body of Christ that are prodigals. They're not serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They have drifted away. They're trying to hold on to something they did years ago. And God says, you got to return unto me. Return unto me. Come back to me. And I will give you life in the abundance. And Jesus gave us an illustration of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. The Father said, in verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found," and they begin to be merry. But one of the other ones in the church didn't understand. Why? One of the other family members didn't understand. He said, "Well, Lord, I didn't leave you. I served you the whole time. And how's he just coming back and you're putting him as and recognizing him?" And Jesus said in verse number 32, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead." What? Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He says, "This is your son, your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found." He wasn't found until he returned back to the Father. He wasn't found. He was still dead until he came back to his Father. And when he came back to his Father, he received Zoe life, life in abundance. Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." Amen. So not only this, when it looks like there's a dead situation, when you try to determine when the Holy Spirit says share the gospel, and you start looking at him and say, "Man, it looks really dead." Yep. Or it may be that one that has drifted away that's not serving the Lord. Amen. As the prodigal had to come to himself. Amen. But God said it's the power of God. And he says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, he says it, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you." Amen. Amen. Zoopoio made us alive. We're alive and well. So the Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's the standing. "For it is the power of God," that is the source, "unto salvation." That is the gift. Amen. So he says to us, the Apostle Paul said in in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2, are you with me? He says, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Underline "all" in your Bible. What the Lord was speaking to me, I'm going to say it. What the Spirit of God was saying to me this morning as I was praying and I was studying and I was in God's Word. God said, in this nation of the United States of America, there's been many distractions. The adversary has brought distraction. And this distraction has caused an infraction. And this infraction has caused a faction. And this faction will cause a fatal attraction. Hallelujah. God is saying that the adversary is using everything to distract the body of Christ, so their eyes are not on what's truly taking place. They're caught up in so many different things, and the adversary's got them distracted. And when you're distracted over here, the adversary's coming in the back door. There's a lie and a deception that says that we shouldn't gather together anymore. You don't have to gather together. That's the lie, and it comes from the father of all lies. Amen. Jesus said to you and I that when our light so shines before men that they may see our good works. But he also says, walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 11, 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some, 10:25. Not forsaking our assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some is as we see the day approaching. Amen. It's so important that we recognize that God's come to save the lost. The Apostle Paul said to his student Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse Verse number 11. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee." You know, the apostle said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture was given by the inspiration of God, and it was profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the Lord was saying something to me. Anytime you bring reproof or correction, nobody likes to be corrected. Who in this room likes to be corrected? Hello? Amen. But the Word of God. We allow the Word of God to make the correction. We allow the Word of God to make the reproof. We're given the instruction in righteousness that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, and what they do with this between them and God. We're not looking at somebody and seeing how much sin they have in their life. Amen. Hey, we have this big thing that's saying that about abortion. Abortion's a sin. Well, so is homosexuality, so is fornication, so is lying, so is stealing. And God doesn't have a Richter scale picking what's one's greater than the other. He says, "Oh, son, did you see that was a 7? Oh, whoa, man, that was an 8 one. Did you see that sin?" Amen. Let's read, say that all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And Jesus has a plan for us. So he says to us for the salvation in 2 Peter, are you with me? Amen. One of the biggest deceptions of the adversary is to measure yourself with someone else. Now, if you want to measure yourself with someone, measure yourself with Jesus. And every time you measure yourself with Jesus, you'll see that you need him. You see that there's something wrong, that I don't have it all together. Amen. I'm still on a journey. I haven't arrived yet. Until that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, I haven't arrived yet. I'm still on a journey, but I'm not walking this journey alone. He's given me a helper. He's given me an advocate. He's given me a friend. He's given me brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Pam, for this morning. You stretched some places in me. I got stretched. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're talking about the salvation. He said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, like some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance." Amen. So the Apostle Paul was saying, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And that means to be saved. To be saved. In closing today, Pastor, that's a quick message. Yeah. I said what the Lord wanted me to say. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 10. Maybe you're looking here today, and maybe that you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe one time you knew him, but you drifted away, and you're not at the place you need to be. John 3:16, on this Valentine's Day, God said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." What this means is for us to transfer our trust, not trust in our own righteousness. As James had said earlier, our righteousness is like filthy rags, but I'm picking up and I'm putting on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon him today? He says, will you call upon me? I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you know if not. He says, behold, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. He's knocking on your heart's door today. Will you answer the door and let him in? Let us pray. Father, we're grateful, Father God, for your word. Your word today was, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And as faith is increased in this room, Father God, we find, Father God, that we're standing on your promises, Father God. That you are our source of our salvation. Our salvation comes when we call upon you and ask you to come into our hearts and lives as our Lord and our Savior. Recognizing that you died on the cross, you arose from the grave. You paid the penalties for our sins. You purchased us all a place in heaven. As your word declares, we like sheep have all gone astray to each our own way. And the Lord laid upon him, upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you not only are the one that we stand on, you're our source, you're our salvation to be saved, but you're also our sustainer. I thank you what your word declares in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, I thank you for every man and woman of God that's gathered here in the sanctuary, on Facebook, on the website, Father God. Father, I pray, Father God, that you stir gifts that have been laying dormant, Father God, that you minister to hearts and lives, Father God. Lord, the enemy is coming like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord is lifting a standard right now. There's been words that have been spoken against some of your children, Father God. And these words have given wounds, have put wounds in them, Father God. But right now, by the power of God, your word declares that you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And with your stripes, we are healed. Father, I speak to those hurt places right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing. I speak the peace of God that surmounts every bit of our understanding to guard their hearts and their minds through Christ Jesus. Father, you're saying that the time is at hand and we're in the last days. And just as you prophesied and your word was spoken over those dead bones in the valley of dry bones, Father God, and there rose up an exceeding great army, Father God, Father, I pray by the power of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we get Holy Ghost boldness to open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, Father God. May we go to our Jerusalem in Harrisburg and Rockingham County, Father God. May we go to the state, to the nation, to the world, proclaiming that you are the only way, Father God. Lord, your word says that it's up to us, that you don't work around us, you work in us and through us. So, Father, I thank you for every man and woman that you're ministering to now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.